I'm just going to go ahead and open up a prayer again. I'm going to be coming from Joshua 23, verses 8 through 13, and I'm just going to pray first. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day, God. Thank you for opportunity to be able to share your message with your people. I pray that you just speak through me, and that you just move me out the way and they see you, Jesus. No distractions. Just have your way, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. So I got this message Friday. Was it last Friday? Yeah, Friday. While at Walmart. So I was shopping at Walmart, and then it just started raining. And the rain was coming down really, really hard. But I thought, you know, it was just coming down fast. So I was like, I got my stuff in the car, and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and run to the car and put the stuff in there. Everybody else is in Walmart just waiting for it to pass over, the rain to pass. And I was like, I'm about to just go to the car and got time. So right when I ran outside, the rain literally drowned me, y'all. I got drenched with rain. I was in the car. I couldn't breathe because it felt like I was just getting, like, you know how water's on your face? I don't know what that term is called, Grandma. Where you pour the water on people's face. What's it? Waterboarding. That's what it felt like, y'all. I felt like I was getting waterboarded, so I couldn't breathe. I had to take breaks, put my head in the car and breathe, and then run back and get my groceries. So when I got in the car, I sat down. Like, my seat was, like, super soaked. My clothes was, like, soaked to my body, and they was stuck. I don't like my clothes sticking to my body. If it's like, you know, just t-shirts and stuff, you go on swimming, you got a swimsuit, that's fine. But regular clothes, I don't like that. So I was sitting in the car and I was mad because they were stuck to my body. And I was driving, and then Jesus was like, you see how your clothes is clinging to you? And I said, yeah. He said, so I want you to cling to me like that for this whole week, right? This is what he told me. He said, this is a challenge. He said, no, a choice. It's a choice. You choose to cling to me. He said, I'm asking you to cling to me for this whole week, like your clothes is stuck to your body. And so I was like, okay. So when we think about clingy, because when he first said cling, you know, cling, I said, you want me to be clingy, you know? And he was like, yeah. And in my mind, I was like, I am not a clingy person. Like, you know, like just in regular, like just with regular relationships. I know we as people, some people who, you know, raising up independent people, human beings, y'all be independent, do it on your own, do this, make sure you got this, have your own this, have your own that. So when I heard clingy, I felt like a negative thing, even though it's coming from God, but it's just because my mind was focused on clingy in a wrong perspective. It wasn't a positive one, it was negative. And so God was showing me throughout this week, changed perspective of clinginess, because he wants us to cling to him. So I'm going to give you the definition of cling. Cling means to hold on tightly. Hold together, to adhere as if glued firmly, to have a strong emotional attachment or dependence. So just for a quick question for you guys, just think about it. What are some things we cling to, and when do we cling to things? So just think about that. I'm going to read Joshua 23, 8 through 13. And it says... Okay. It says, rather cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. So when Joshua is telling this to the Israelites, he's getting ready to leave. Like he's gotten old, so he's getting ready. I like how he say, I'm getting ready to go in the way of the earth. I like how he say that. That's cool. It sounds better than I'm about to die, you know. So I'm about to go in the way of the earth. And so he was telling Israel to remember to cling to God. Remember to cling to him. And remember all the things he's done for you and all of that. So when they got up to this point, Israel had been, you know, in captive. This is the people Joshua is talking to is the people that came from the 40, that grew up in the 40 years in the wilderness. And so you remember Moses couldn't go to the promised land. So him and the old generation had to die off before they can go into the promised land. And so these are the ones who were actually able to go over. So they grew up in the wilderness and then went over into the promised land. So he's telling them, while they were there, God promised them that he will give them these lands. So now, as he's addressing them, God has came through on his promises. And he's saying, like, for the rest of the land that you guys are going to get, remember to cling and remember that God is giving you these promises. He's going to fulfill them. So he reminded them, like, six times to remember God, cling to God before this farewell speech. And then after the farewell speech, he reminded him like three more times. I'm pretty sure he was reminding them throughout, though, like throughout the whole time he was with them. He kept reminding them, cling to God, cling to God, cling to God. So Joshua put emphasis on clinging, and it's important to cling to the Lord. And we see, if we study the book of Joshua, we see that Israel knew it was important to cling to them, to Jesus, to the Lord. Joshua not only told them to cling, but he showed them how to cling. When I was reading about this, you can see Joshua was under Moses. So Moses was the one that went before the Lord, spent time with the Lord, clung to the Lord, and then came back and told the Israelites about everything that the Lord did for them, that the Lord's going to do. Everything the Lord spoke, that's what Moses did. Moses was the one that went before the Lord, and then they came to Israel. He came back to the Israelites and told them. Joshua sat under Moses. So if Moses clung to the Lord, and then Joshua, sitting under him, clung to the Lord and showed Israel how to do it, this showed me that us as the church, when we cling to the Lord, it's not just for ourselves, it's to show everybody else how to cling to the Lord. You can see how the Israelites looked to Joshua and they saw him when they saw how he clung to the Lord and they did it. So whatever Joshua did, that's what the Israelites did. So it's kind of scary because like Moses, he clung to the Lord too, but he also did his own stuff sometimes. So that's why he couldn't cross over, but neither could that generation under Moses cross over. So that was kind of like something that God, it's not even in my notes, but God just, you know, really just let me see, like, yo, if you're leading people, whether it's parents, growing up kids, teaching kids in the way of the Lord, you got to show them how to do it. And it's important to teach them to cling to the Lord so that they don't forget. If they see you forget, then they're going to follow and forget. So it's important as a parent, I'm an auntie, you know, grandparents, teachers, pastors, everybody to in the body to show each other and remind each other to cling to the Lord. So yeah, that was not in there, but okay. All right. Joshua 22 verses 5 says, sorry, I don't have my Bible, so I'm using my phone. But be very careful to obey all the commandments and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, cling to him, and serve him with all your hearts and all your soul. So clinging as a whole, clinging to clinging to God with all our hearts and all of our soul. Sorry, guys. So, in Joshua chapter 4, he reminded them to tell their kids. So, I was reading Joshua. I read the whole book of Joshua while I was studying this, clinging to God. In Joshua chapter 4, he reminded the generation to tell their kids. He said, tell them, remind them of these things. When they crossed over the Jordan, they built a altar with the stones. And he said, when your kids come up and they look at this, you tell them what God has done. So you have to remember everything that God has done, but not only remember it, you have to tell. So when you remember, you tell. That way you won't forget. You can't just remember for yourself. You have to tell it so that you won't forget and then others won't forget. So the way you cling to God is how you pass down how you cling to God to anybody that's under you, that looks to you as an influence. So verse 11, I'm going to read Joshua 23:8-13 again. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. That's six, but I'll keep reading. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. For the Lord your God has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. So how do we cling and why do we cling? Verse 11, so be careful to love the Lord your God, because we love God. So love the Lord your God. That's when you love God, you respect him. When you respect him, you fear him. Fear him is not like, oh, I'm so scared, like he's going to kill me or something. But it's like, he's powerful. He's honorable. He's righteous. He loves me. So I want to respect him. So that's what fearing God is, respecting him. When he says do something, got to do it, you know? That shows him that you love him. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua 24:14 says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. So how many of y'all got like famous people that y'all like, or like something that y'all really, really like? If y'all remember that question I asked y'all in the beginning, like, who do you cling to and when do you cling? I'll just give an example of myself. I love Kevin Durant. I do. So when he left, you know, I was mad when people was talking about him. I was like, don't talk about him around me. Nope, don't do it. He a grown man. He can make his own choices, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I was literally like sticking up for him. I got his jerseys. I let people know I'm a Kevin Durant fan, all of this stuff. And so that is a sense of clinging, because I tell people that I love Kevin Durant. When they say something that's wrong, I'd be like, watch your mouth. Don't talk about him. Don't talk about him, you know. And so that is clinging. Is it clinging to God? No, that's not clinging to God. So God told me, hey, this can be a snare for you. If you cling to it, it can pull you away from me. That's God's talking to me. It can pull you away. So whatever you're clinging to that's not God, be very, very careful. I also love to learn languages. So if I'm spending more time learning the language than spending time with God, that becomes a snare because it's taking up time for God. But he showed me how I can learn languages and keep him first, which is, you know, learning languages through him. You know, I can learn some scriptures and stuff like that. So, yeah. So just be careful and be aware of what you guys are clinging to. Because verse 12 says it can be a snare for you. So we can learn from Joshua, what Joshua is saying to the people, the Israelites. We can learn from his words and what God is saying through him, because we know that if Joshua's clinging to God, God is speaking through Joshua. So so the Israelites literally like took Joshua's words as God's words and they clung to him. The whole generation, like, it was super, super cool when I finished reading it and then I went to Jude. It says that whole generation all the way up to when after Joshua passed away, and then the ones younger than Joshua passed away, that whole generation served the Lord wholeheartedly. They clung to him. And it was because of the example that Joshua showed the Israelites how to cling to God. And so when he passed away, what did the Israelites do? They didn't turn to the customs. They went, hey, God, what do you want us to do? And he told them what to do. And so that's super, super, super cool. So how are we able? I can't even read my own handwriting, Jesus. All right. So the people of Israel knew God, so they were able to cling to God. So how can we stay clinging to God, and what does it look like for us? If you guys can go to Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Okay. And it says, so this is talking about the parable. So Jesus is, he gave a parable to the crowd about the farmer and the seeds. And he explained it here. He's explaining it to his disciples, what it means. Because his disciples was like, what was that story about? So he told the crowd, there was a farmer planting seeds. And he was planting seeds. I'm paraphrasing. He was planting seeds in the garden. Some fell on the sidewalk. Some fell on rocky soil. Some fell among thorns. And then some fell on the good soil. And so then his disciple, he said, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying. And so his disciples was like, what that mean, Jesus? Like, I don't understand it. What it mean? And so here he's telling the disciples what it means. So verse 11. This is what the story illustrates. The seed is God's word. Some people are like seeds that were planted along the road. They heard the word, but then the devil comes. He takes the word away from them so that they don't believe and become saved. Some people are like seeds on rocky soil. They welcome the word with joy whenever they hear it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. The seeds that were planted among thorn bushes are people who hear the word, but as life goes on, the worries, riches, and pleasures of life choke them, so they don't produce anything good. The seed that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they cling to it and keep in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. So here, when we're reading this, it's showing us how it describes people that cling. Like, how do you cling? How they cling, I guess, to say it. And so we know that the Israelites clung to God, and then we cling to God. We cling to the good news. So the Israel had God's promises. We have the promised Jesus. And so here he's saying the word is the seed. So we have to cling to the seed, the word. And who is the word? Jesus, yes. Yes. So Jesus is the word. So when Joshua told them to cling to God, we cling to Jesus. So Jesus is talking about planting seeds. God's word is the seed. He is the word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. So Jesus is God. Jesus the word. So when you read stuff that's saying about the seed or the word, that's Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. He literally was telling his disciples about himself. Like, this is how you cling to me. And this is what it looked like when you don't cling to me. So if I speak to you and you receive my word, and it falls along the sidewalks, then you don't got it. If I give you my word and you grab it and you're happy to hear it, but then your faith gets tested and you kind of drop it, you don't got it. If you get my word, I give you the word, you get my word, and you get choked by the cares of the world, tribulations, all of that stuff, you got it, but it's not doing nothing for you. So you have to cling to it with good soil. You have to trust and believe in it, believe in his word, believe in him, and then it will grow and produce a harvest, and you will bear fruit. You will bear much, much fruit. So when God gives us a word, how we cling to it is we trust him and we believe him with everything, our whole heart and our whole souls. If that makes sense. That makes sense. That sound right? All right. Because it is. That's our whole souls. So maybe because I put the S on it. All righty. First Peter 1:23-25 says, you have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting word that can't be destroyed. That's why scripture says, all people are like grass, and all their beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass dries up and the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. This is the good news that was told to you. We can cling to Jesus, the good news. Jesus is our example of how to cling. He clung to his Father. He always went to his Father for everything. Whether it was healing people, whether it was getting strength, whether it was surrendering his will and getting God's will, he clung to God. So we follow Jesus. The Israelites was following Joshua and how he clung to Jesus and God, because they didn't have Jesus right then. So they had to literally follow their leader. So make sure that you guys are clinging, and be careful of how you're clinging, because you're a leader to somebody, whether you're young, whether you're old, you are always a leader. So because we have Jesus, we got to show people how to cling to him. And the only way you can do that is if you know him. You can't cling to something you don't know. So you got to have a relationship with Jesus. And the only way you can have a relationship with Jesus is how? In his word and in trusting. Yes, and how else? How do you even hear about Jesus? That's our job, right? We go and take the good news. So you can't hear if nobody told you. And when we share it, we're sharing what we're clinging to. We're sharing who we're clinging to. If we're clinging to Jesus and we're not sharing Jesus, are we clinging? Because I don't think so. I think we doing stuff on our own. I think we know Jesus. I think we got Jesus, but we not doing nothing. And so we might be like that one that has the thorny that's just holding it, not doing anything, not bearing no fruit. But you do have them. You're just not bearing anything because you're not sharing. So be careful what you cling to. I know kids, I know y'all back in school now. So when y'all go out, y'all got to show people who you clinging to. So if you're clinging to Jesus, be careful who you hang or associate with, like who you cling to. Be careful who you cling to. that makes sense. You cling to Jesus, and then you're around people who don't cling to Jesus, it's real easy to get swayed. It's real, real easy. This week, during this, it's not a challenge, it's a choice. When God told me to cling to him this week, I had some struggles. Because I'm like, I got to cling. He want me to be clingy, clingy? I'm not used to that. I'm not used to just talking to him every single minute. You know, every single minute. But he with me every single minute. So why I'm not acknowledging him every single minute? So it was really a struggle for me. I didn't do it like I thought I was going to, because I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. But then I was like, oh, I ain't talked to you in a couple of hours. That's crazy. And you right here with me. And he's like, are you clinging? Or what are you clinging to right now? Are you clinging to your phone on social media? Are you clinging to binge watching anime or dramas or stuff on Netflix, Hulu, whatever? What are you clinging to? It's not me. If you ain't talking to me, you're not clinging to me. So if you're not acknowledging me, you're not clinging to me. So the Israelites, they clung to Jesus. Even, this is so cool, even when, and what is it, in Joshua, the Israelites was, they had just like killed Achan. Is it Achan? Achan. Okay, so they had just went through Jericho, and they were supposed to take all the spoils to God and give it to God, and Achan kept some stuff for himself. He got in trouble because he kept it. He kept it. It was supposed to be for God, and he lied. He lied and hid it and buried it. And so, but God was like, oh, we're going to go ahead and straighten this out. So everybody came for it. They brought forth families and everything. They was like, okay, this tribe, we're going to bring forth all the tribes. Okay, all y'all gone, it's this tribe. All right, so this tribe, which family is it? All right, it's this family. So come on. So they brought the family for it. And then Achan was like, yeah, I did it. I'm so sorry. I did it. I got this under the ground. Back there, I got a robe and some silver stuff back there under the ground. And they was like, go get it. And so he got it. But Achan had to die because he disrespected the Lord. He took it wasn't for him. He stole. And so he stole, and so he had to die. But not just Achan, his family. His family had to die for his decision that he made, because he decided to steal something. So fast forward, and we got where they're crossing the Jordan and they get in their lands, and then you got Reuben and Gad, who is building an altar between the river, the size, to, because it's a tribe here and it's a tribe here. So Reuben and Gad was building an altar right here. Tell me why all of Israel was like, oh no, y'all gotta die. We ain't finna die for y'all. Y'all can't do this. So they immediately went into Reuben and Gad and was like, what are y'all doing? You cannot do this. No, no, no. And then Reuben Gad was like, we're building this not for ourselves, not to like say what we did. We're building it so that our families can remember that not only do y'all serve God, but we serve God. And so they built that altar, and so they could tell their kids, hey, we built this because God brought us through. He gave us his land. He gave us all that he promised us. So we got to respect him and love him and cling to him. And that's why they built it. But the Israelites was not having it when they built it at first, because they know what was happening. So what, same for us. When we see our people clinging to something other than God and literally clinging and worshiping or doing something, and they belong to the family, we got to be like, yo, 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 what you doing? What's happening? You know, we can't do this. Like, it's scary. Like, it's literally really like scary to like literally serve something else, serve somebody else other than God, because God don't like that. He don't play about that. And so we know that God is a loving God, but he don't play either. So we got to respect him. We got to fear him and love him and help each other cling. So, yep, that is it. Make sure you're clinging to God. Stay clingy. Don't think about clingy in a bad way. Stay clingy, guys. Stay clingy. I'm a try to stay clingy too. So, you know, and the only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit. So I gotta trust the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me if I'm spending too much time on social media. Holy Spirit, help me if I'm spending too much time with these languages or Korean dramas. You know, help me to get somewhere where I can get with me and you. And it's just us, and we can be clingy, because he clings to us all the time. If God wants us to be clingy, it's because he clingy. So and if God's clingy, you don't got no worries about being clingy. You can be clingy to people in your marriages or your spouses, sisters, brothers, family members. Y'all can be clingy. Ain't nothing wrong with that, because God is clingy. So remember, be clingy, guys. All right, Lord, thank you so much, God, for just your word, God. Thank you for being clingy to us. Thank you for loving us, letting us be clingy with you. I pray that everyone that heard, God, that we will literally choose you every time over anything else, God, that you will continue to move on our hearts, continue to grow our faith in you. I pray for the kids back in school, God, that they will cling to you so that nobody can pull them away, God. I also pray that they have fun and stay protected, God, as they're at school. Lord, thank you just for everything you've done. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just being with us and helping us, being our teacher. Thank you, God, for just being you. And I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let the people of God say amen. 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 Thank you, Minister Joslyn, for that not a challenge, but pushing us to choose to cling to him. Along that message, she gave us some great opportunities to evaluate where we are, identifying things that may be attaching to us and clinging to us. And then she helped us to understand what clinging really looks like. And so it is giving you a basis for the evaluation and then saying, now that I know, how do I cling along the way? And it is, he desires us to cling, to hold fast unto him. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that in the times that we are living in now, we need to be clinging on to him for dear life. Amen. Things are changing at a rapid pace. There's so much confusion. Truth around folks is being eroded in the culture and everywhere you hear. And the only way you can stand is if you're clinging to the anchor. Girl, don't you make me preach? Huh? Listen, everything else is sinking sand, right? But if you're holding on to him who is holding on to you, right? It doesn't matter how hard the wind blows. If you got him and he got you, you ain't going nowhere. Huh? And it doesn't matter. Sometimes the wind comes so hard and so fast, it'll knock you down. But when you're clinging to him, right? Oh, that fall ain't going to be that hard. Why? Because he cushions my fall. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, he puts a pillow under my head. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He holds me up. And so you and I, we choose to cling. Thank you for being honest. You said the choice this week, you discovered that it was difficult because it revealed to you that you wasn't where you thought you were. Which is what happens with God. He says that you and I are growing, we are maturing, and that each day we are moving closer and closer and closer and closer to where he wants us to be. You can't be satisfied with yesterday, because today is what he has given. And when you're banking on what you did yesterday, he said, look, that's already past. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day that I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I will pray without ceasing. I will ruminate, meditate upon his word. I will hide his word in my heart so that I can cling to him. And if I'm clinging to him, I will not sin. You remember that's what you hide in your word in his heart for, right? So that I will not sin. I will let his word be a light unto my path. Why? Because I'm clinging to his word, because I understand that his word is truth. I understand that his word is alive. I understand that his word has healing power and virtue. And I understand that it is the Spirit of God that takes the word of God and effects change in my life. Y'all better get excited with me. Come on now. Listen, you don't have a chance to interact with the living God and not get excited about what he is doing and revealing in your life. He has given us eyes that can see, ears that can hear, a mind that can understand. And when he allows us to understand truth, that's something to get excited about, because there are so many who are rejecting truth. Thank God you and I are able to receive and respond. And by the way, if you're clinging, that's when God begins to take that word and the Spirit begins to take that word, Jesus Christ, the one that you're clinging to, and he begins to work some stuff out in your life. Clinging means that I am going to hold on until I get, what you promise. Ooh, I didn't mean to do this, but since the Spirit of the Lord is working, I ain't going to fight him, right? You remember Jacob? Jacob had deceived his brother. He had to go off to stay with his uncle because his brother said, because you deceived me, as soon as daddy died, I'm getting you. Jacob scared to death. So his mama said, now you go stay with my brother. So Jacob is on the way. He's on his way to go stay with his brother. He gets to this place and he lays down to sleep one night, and the Lord comes to visit. Right? He comes to visit and tells Jacob that I am with you. Jacob goes because God is with him and he is prosperous. He ends up getting two women instead of one. He married two wives because his uncle tricked him. He didn't plan it that way. His uncle tricked him. And he had all these children. Now, Jacob is on his way back home. But he's scared because he knows, man, I left stuff in a mess. When I left stuff in a mess, and I don't know what's going on with my brother. Right, so on his way back home, he's acquired all of these gifts. He's acquired all of these things that God has given him, all of these possessions. And so he takes and he starts to send his possessions before him as a gift to his brother. His idea is this: I will appease my brother, and if I bless him, maybe he'll forgive me. I'm going to send this before him. And he says, if you come in contact with him, tell him, oh, these belong to my Lord, your brother, but he sent them to you as a gift. His thinking was, if I do this, then my brother will forgive me. And so he's doing all of this. And finally, he and his family, they stop to rest. And Jacob separates himself from his family. He puts his family over here, and he goes out and he's over by himself as he's preparing to go meet his brother. And while he is there, the angel of the Lord comes to visit him. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with him all night long. And when daybreak was coming, the angel of the Lord said, okay, enough of this. It's time for me to go and go back. Let me go. Here's the clinging. Jacob said, mm-mm, I ain't gonna let go of you. We done wrestled all night long, and you think I'm gonna let you go now? Mm-mm, I ain't gonna let go of you. I ain't gonna let go of you until you bless me. Clinging says, I'm gonna hold on to the promise of God until the blessing comes. Amen? Why? Because I know that everything God has said, he watches over his word to perform it. God never lies. If he says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do a thing. Time means nothing to God. Age means nothing to God. You didn't even get to Caleb talking about when he was 85 years old. I still want that mountain that was promised to me. Age means nothing. Clinging says, I'm going to hold on to your word, to your promise until you bless me. And you know what happened. Jacob was holding on and he was clinging and he wouldn't let go. And the angel of the Lord said, man, this dude's serious. He ain't gonna let go. That's the kind of clinging that you and I need to have. We need to have the kind of clinging that it doesn't matter what turbulence comes up in your life. You ain't letting go. You may be whipped around, but you still holding on. Everybody looking at you and laughing. They laughing because you look crazy while you being whipped around. But you said, I'm not going to let go because I'm clinging to the only one who can bless me. That's clinging. And that's what he's calling you and me to do. Stop looking for immediate results. Oh, can I just speak to us for a moment? Because some of us think that we can apply the word of God and we want that immediate result. And if it doesn't happen, we start saying it doesn't work. Parable of the sower, it doesn't work. The worries of life, it chokes it out. It doesn't work. And you let it go and you go try something else. No, you take it and you hold on to it. You cling to it until the truth of God's word is manifest in your life and in your experience. Because just because you don't see a thing working don't mean it ain't working. And what you can't see, God is working out some stuff in you, and he's preparing a situation and a place for you so that by the time you are ready, by the time he gets you ready, you then can receive what he wants for you. Ooh, I can't leave Jacob hanging like that, because Jacob was clinging. He was clinging. He was clinging. And the angel of the Lord said, man, this boy's serious. I guess I better bless him. And that's what he did. He blessed him and he gave him a limp because he touched his hip. Oh, see, you didn't get that. See, see, God has given you a blessing that you've been calling a curse. Yeah, but because he was clinging, he touched him and gave him a limp. But not only did he give him a limp, he gave him a new name. I'm excited. No longer will you be called Jacob. No longer will you be called trickster. No longer will you be associated with all that stuff. Now you're going to be called Israel, because you're going to be the father of many nations. Right now, you're in the line. You are in the promise. That's why he says, father of Abraham, Isaac, and who? Israel. We say Jacob, but it's Israel, because he represents the one from which the 12 tribes came. And out of that came who? The Lion of Judah. Glory. Oh, Jocelyn didn't preach me happy. She didn't preach me happy. Cling to him. Cling to him. He is the only stable thing, the only stable person in our economy. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What that means is that his character can be trusted. His person can be trusted. And this is what I like about him. Even though he chooses to manifest himself in new ways, his methodology can be trusted. And so if you're clinging to him, he prepares you and me for what is ahead, so that we can then be image bearers and messengers of the gospel of the one who loves us and who saves us. And so I challenge you, sisters, brothers, choose to cling to him. Joshua said this: choose this day whom you will cling to. I know you like who you will serve. Choose this day who you will cling to. And then he said, but as for me and my house, we gonna cling. Can you give me that liberty? Can you give me that liberty? We gonna cling to the Lord. Amen. Oh boy, why don't we make that our declaration? You can say to everybody around you. In fact, move from social media to social ministry. Go and post somewhere that I am choosing to cling to the Lord. Let your messenger be about what you are choosing to cling to, that you may then become a vocal spokesperson for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what anybody around me is going to do. As for me and my house, we choose to cling to the Lord. Amen. 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 Listen, as we prepare, we're getting ready for the Lord's table. The thing that he gave us to remind us that he desires to live in us, desires to walk with us, and it is his promise that he shall be with us forever. Take a few moments as we prepare to just have your little conversation with the Lord. Take a few moments. Talk to him about your clinging practices and your clinging habits. And then ask him to take over and help you cling more effectively to him.